Are homosexuals born that way, and can they change? That's what we're going to talk about right now on this portion of Vocal Point. I'm Jerry Newcomb, and our guest is Stephen Black, who's been on before. He is a former homosexual, and he's the author of a book called Freedom Realized. He also runs a ministry called First Stone, and websites include freedomrealized.org, stephenblack.org, and also firststone.org. Stephen, welcome to the program. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate it so much.
Now, I understand that there was a major study involving literally tens of thousands of subjects in the United States, UK, and Sweden related to the issue of homosexuality and are they born that way? Is there a gay gene or gay genome? Tell us about the study and what were the results.
Yeah. People can go to a different couple of places. The CBS News did a pretty good report on it. It's on their website, and then also Scientific America. But basically, what they did is they did this study of over 470,000 people trying to find out if there was a genetic disposition a part of the whole genetic sequencing of the human genome to find out if there was a genetic link. And what this study ended up showing is that there is no gay gene and no one is born gay.
You know, that is a message that should be shouted from the housetops, because so much of what is done and passed is done, you know, with that premise in mind.
That's exactly right. And that has been the narrative since 1992 when the Simon LeVay report came out on the hypothalamus gland study. You know, you had Newsweek putting a picture of a baby, and it said, is this child born gay? And since 1992, that has been the narrative based on even that bogus science, which even later Simon LeVay came out, well, that was not his conclusion, that people were born gay. And then they find out, you know, that these studies were skewed. They were, you know, hypothalamus glands of 75% of men who died of HIV-related illnesses who were homosexual. And so, of course, the brain is going to be affected. And what's amazing now, just in the last few years, we have these brain scans that actually show that crack cocaine addicts and porn addicts have the same kind of damage to the brain. And I was recently just
as homosexuals.
That's right. And any sex addicts. And so when you're sexually addicted and you're a porn addict, you're going to see a corruption in the brain. And it takes about, and now we know the science, it takes about 3 to 5 years of getting out of that addictive behavior for the brain to start healing. Is that not amazing?
Wow. Well, wait a minute. Am I to understand that any homosexual is, by definition, according to you, a sex addict?
Most of them are. I wouldn't say that all of them are actually addicted to sexual behavior, but when you do the study on behind what has happened, is the majority have been sexually abused, so they've been sinned against, and they have a disposition to the unfortunate chaos from sexual abuse. And then high 90% of the people that we surveyed showed that people have sexual distortions. And that means that graphic sexual information was given to them prepubescent. And that is an erosion in anyone's identity with the stealing of innocence and bringing this chaos into their souls.
If they're not born that way, then what causes homosexuality?
It's environmental. As a matter of fact, even this study and other studies have shown that there are attributes to the environment in which they were raised. Usually they have a broken relationship with their same-sex parent. There's usually some kind of overt or broken relating with the opposite-sex parent, or they have that opposite-sex parent or same-sex parent that's not even in the home. There's a lot of factors just with the parental issue. But then there's also the God-given temperaments and personalities that can give towards a disposition to feel less than or not equal to their same gender. And so that can cause a lot of insecurities and fear and pain in the upbringing, a lot of ridicule. There are many environmental factors, and I talk about this in my book. On page 70, there's actually a chart that shows clearly some of these causalities, like abuse and ridicule and trauma, that are very consistent in high 90 percentages of the people that we minister to. Rarely is it just that there's a discovery of sexuality, even though that can happen, and there'd be a development of sexual sin and brokenness.
I remember one ex-gay told me multiple years ago, and I believe he has since died from AIDS or complications, but anyway, he had said that 75% of boys who become homosexual or girls who become lesbians, 75% of them were molested as children. Does that sound about right?
Yeah.
Sexually matter of fact, molested.
Well, yes, that's right. In our history of our ministry, which we were founded in 76, we started keeping records of information around 91. And in our record keeping and understanding, in the first 20 years, the numbers were about 65% to 70% of the males and about 85% of the females. Now, what's interesting, when we concluded our survey a few years ago in 2013, that First Stone Ministries effectiveness survey revealed the numbers went down, and I think I know why. When we polled people and have discussed and talked to people, they have graphic access in the palm of their hand. So these kids now that are being raised, they don't even have to be sexually molested. Uh-huh. The culture and social media and this technology is molesting their brains. Ooh. to question their identities, and they're stepping into sexual sin and brokenness.
Oh, my goodness. This is awful. Okay, let me ask you a quick question before we talk about can they change. And that is, the Supreme Court 4 years ago or so said same-sex marriage is now supposedly the law of the land. There have been some marriages of gays, you know, men to men and women to women. How commonly are those marriages open marriages? In other words, where it's sort of understood, yeah, there's going to be cheating on the side, which, by the way, would be absolutely disastrous for any kind of marriage.
Well, the male marriages, male to male, laugh and mock and talk about the word monogamish, and that I would venture to say even before the gay marriage thing, it was understood that the high 90% of male homosexual quote-unquote unions were going to have extra partners on the side. And this isn't as rampant in female homosexuality because women aren't as sexual anyhow. They're more relational. They have relational enmeshment and idolatrous behavior that actually causes some anxiety and some mental disorders that develop through, they're broken relating. Males generally will have all kinds of physical problems and STDs. So, and this isn't even from a biblical, this is just dealing with the health hazards from the CDC statistics. So we know this idea of monogamy is kind of full-hearted in the people in the gay community. They actually laugh and mock about it, and they think it's funny.
Well, especially the men.
Yes, especially the men.
Yeah. What were you saying about the female lesbians involved in idolatry? You didn't say adultery. You said idolatry, I believe.
Yeah, it's idolizing one another, and that tends towards the emotional, what we call emotional dependency or codependent idolatrous relating. And they can become very violent. You will see, even the CDC shows this, that female homosexuality have a much higher predisposition towards anxiety, depression, the propensity towards mental illness in the broken relating. And when we look at the natural relating between male and female and God's perfect design, you know, men are supposed to bring a place of security and wholeness and protection to women. I mean, even the way the scripture describes it in 1 Peter chapter 3. And so this is a violation of God's beautiful design and what he wants in a beautiful, loving marital relationship between one man and one woman. And so when you violate God's principles, the outcome is always going to be chaos.
So you're saying, and you were actually there, you're saying that the gay lifestyle is not gay at all. That's a misnomer.
It really is. There's so much brokenness and disappointment and depression, anxiety, great grief and sorrow. Many people end up, you know, in drug use, and you know the gay community and the lobbies and the Human Rights Commission are pushing this narrative that this conversion, quote unquote, conversion therapy and ministries are causing harm and causing people to commit suicide. Well, actually, the reality is in all the Scandinavian countries that have already had this, you know, free gay world idea and gay marriage have the same suicidal rates. So the numbers aren't changing. You know, acceptance doesn't bring about change. It's a violation of the conscience. It's a violation of God's word. And these people are depressed and broken because they're living in sin.
Wow. Okay, we have 3 minutes to remain. What would you like to say about can homosexuals change?
Well, I would appeal to listeners that if people would just believe the simple thing of there is a creator of the universe, and just look at even the science, you know, there's enough coding in a pinhead of DNA that reveals that in fact there is a creator, and even most good scientists will say that. They don't even know God. So if in fact there is a creator and a designer, he's designed for us to be able to enjoy love in relationships. And if somebody is outside of that, it's only going to bring chaos. Jesus Christ, according to the Word of God, is the creator. He loves us. He died for us to set us free from all of this chaos. And for some people, yes, it can be a lifetime process. But he is there. He's wanting to embrace people to pull them out of any form of sexual sin.
If we go to your website, firststone.org, would we find listed there the results of your major survey where I believe you dealt with something like 700 people who had gone through your training and found that they did change and they stayed changed? It wasn't 100%, but it was many that fit that category, correct?
That is correct. If they go to our website, and there's some sliders on there, when they get to the available, the book and the study, they can click on it there. It takes them to freedomrealize.org. And on the freedomrealize.org, there is a tab there that says the complete effectiveness survey. And all the stats, or I wouldn't say all, but a lot of stats are actually listed there.
Can you summarize them for us? I mean, the good news is that people are changing and have been changed.
Oh, absolutely. 75% of those who actually sought help over 1 year said that support groups and the ministry here were excellent and good. 92 to 88% when they first came to First Stone viewed themselves as sexual addicts or had little progress in finding healing. But after having been here for at least 1 year, many of them several years, in pastoral care and support groups showed that 72 to 73% considered themselves completely free from sexual sin and brokenness. And those people actually said that they went on to live their lives surrendered to Christ without any gay labels.
FreedomRealize.org, and you yourself, and we have 10 seconds remaining, you yourself used to be in the homosexual lifestyle. Now you're happily married with kids, correct?
That's right. I spent 8 years in homosexuality, been married now for 33 years. I gave my life to Christ almost 37 years ago. 3 adult children and 4 grandchildren.
Oh, praise God. Thank you very much. FreedomRealize.org. Thank you, Stephen. God bless.
Thank you. God bless you, sir.
Okay, bye-bye.